This episode of Guns Blazing is brought to you by the people at 3Chi. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. So go to 3Chi.com to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, gummies, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S, the numbers 21, at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's code GUNS21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Rich Reagans is here, joining us. Not in bedroom number 4, we're doing it from the kitchen island on here so we can be in the same frame. For this recording, Sean, we haven't seen together. We haven't seen Richie since we built the shed bar.
Yeah, we built the shed bar, and then he took a nap, and then we didn't see him again.
That's how I've got out of most of my relationships.
Richie's one of the best contractors, also one of the best nappers, balls deep in the middle of the project you never saw in your whole life.
It should be your resume. That should be at the top of your resume. Skilled construction tradesman, skilled napper. Like, those are your two strengths.
Wait a minute. I do think we should clarify something. First of all, on that thing, we were drinking powerhouse college spring break drinking, smoking, the whole time. And you guys are, 10 years younger than me? And I mean, I couldn't work all day, get that fucked up, and then I had to have naps.
Let's run through a little typical shift there for old Rich Reagans. Mm-hmm. We wake up about, 8, and he wakes up at 10. We work till about 2. He'll take a nap till about 6, come back out, survey the area, move a couple pieces of wood, head back to the house.
Okay, let me do one for Sean, okay? Gets up about 8, gets some coffee going, puts on a tool bag with no fucking tools in it, and goes, let's get fucked up, and then walks around, breaks shit, and then I fix it for him, and then we get it right. And then it shows him going, look what I just did on the camera. That's fucking great. Halfway through the day, his tool bag was on the backside and he didn't even know it yet.
Also, I got Richie up at 10 to do the Monday morning coffee session with us for the Patreon folks, and he's had 2 naps since then. So I don't know that we can blame it on the shed building. I think it's just you're just a good napper, dude. Don't be ashamed of it. Like, some people are just great nappers.
I gotta tell you something. Here's when I gotta have one, right? Mm-hmm. If I love waking up and then getting something to eat and then go back and taking a nap. I mean, I can just do that like that. Here's a crazy thing too, is I'm a terrible sleeper. Maybe it's because of the naps, but I don't nap every day. I don't nap every single day, but like, I'm up here when I'm out of town, I nap a lot. I do.
Go in vacation mode?
I do. I go into vacation mode. After I eat, oh my God, laying down, taking a nap. If I got to choose between jerking off or taking a nap, usually taking a nap wins.
I usually like to do it before I take a nap. Everybody wins.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah, it's a good way to do it. I don't like to jerk off at other people's houses, though. Like, when I'm here.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I know. Well, I did last night, but I was standing over you while you slept, so yeah, I didn't want to wake you up and make it weird.
As long as I'm asleep, I don't really care. I mean, what I don't know won't hurt me. That's my mantra.
You get kind of conditioned, though, as a comedian. Like, when you're on the weekend road, I'm a fucking mean napper. I don't do shit during the day when I'm doing stand-up on the weekends. I'll go find something to eat real quick if I'm a little bit extra motivated.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll take a bunch of naps. I hear a little bit of an echo.
Oh yeah, it's probably gonna happen. We got this fucking StreamYard operation going here, and it won't let us wear headphones, and broadcast audio. So
there we go. That's all right. It went away.
Hope for the best. Yeah, I started off today. I bought the iPhone 12 Pro Max, right? And then after all weekend of lugging it around in my pocket, I determined it was too big to carry around. It doesn't fit in your pocket, first of all. Pockets nowadays are so short, like a tenth of the phone would stick out above your pocket. Right. And plus, I got thin legs anyway. So width-wise, it's 3/4 the width of my leg. So it just looked ridiculous. And so I called my son Bailey because he got one. I go, you have any trouble carrying that thing? He's like, it sticks out of my pocket. And I'm like, but it doesn't bother you? And he's like, the camera's worth it. So I almost kept it just for the camera. But I read up on it, and they're pretty close. So I go to Best Buy, and they said you have 14 days to trade it back in, right? Mm-hmm. So I go back in there. And what they didn't tell me was you only have 72 hours to trade it back in to avoid a restocking fee of $45. And then Verizon is going to charge you another activation for the new phone because it didn't happen within 72 hours. So I'm like, what the flying fuck? So now I'm like $125 deep in again just to downsize the size of my phone. I'm in there. They have to transfer it over for me, and their Wi-Fi at Best Buy keeps fucking up. So he had to do it like 3 times, and I was there for like 3.5 hours waiting for this transfer. And I'm fucked without it because now one phone's not going to work. So I'm like, I just can't, I'm stuck there. That's the first time that I can remember that I've gone 3.5 hours without a phone. I had no concept of time. I kept forgetting what day it is. I'm like, fuck it. It feels warm, but I don't know what temperature it is. That's driving me crazy.
How did it make you feel? What were the first two emotions you felt from not having a phone for 3.5 hours?
I felt like I had, that opening scene in Planet of the Apes, like when he crashes in his spaceship and he gets out and the world looks different. And then like there's no people around or anything. That's what I felt. I felt like I had crash landed in some bizarre world.
I feel the same way if I don't have my phone. Everybody around me is a damn dirty ape.
Yeah, exactly. It was crazy. I was like, what would I do if today they just took phones away?
Well, the worst being, and then having that happen in Best Buy, you're just like, you're just standing there like some fucko with a dick in the hand. You're like, come on, man. You're literally based off internet here. Get your shit together, bro.
I spent a half hour arguing with a TV guy over the TVs because I'm like, why is this TV $950, but it's only $500 at Costco? And he's like, no, it's not. And I go, look it up, bro. So I have the guy, we're looking up Costco TVs. And I go, it's a 65-inch TCL Roku. Like, look at this. It's $492 or $5 or whatever at Costco. And you have it for almost $1,000. And he's like, oh, well, it's different or whatever. And I'm like, show me on the specs where it's different. No.
And Walmart probably has the same TV for the same price or even cheaper. If you're listening and you buy a TCL, which I have TCLs, I got the 65 right here, TCL.
That's all I'm buying from now on.
And you buy that at Best Buy for $900, you should also buy the wall mount for $600.
Yeah.
Because you're a fucking idiot. Never buy a TV. I mean, listen, Best Buy has a lot of things you have to go there for, but it sure ain't TVs, man.
I don't get a good vibe from Best Buy.
I like the, I've always done my phones that way just because traditionally it was easier to transfer your shit over because they would just do it for you and put on the screen protector while you're there. So you don't have to go home and fuck with that yourself and all that. But for now on, I think I'm just going to order the phone from Best Buy and do it myself. I mean,
I don't ever let them do the phone. I don't want anybody doing the phone. It takes too damn long to fuck around. Unless I crack the screen or something, I got no choice, but. When it comes to buying TVs, it's either Costco or Walmart, dude, or Amazon. I mean, get out of here. Best Buy is just looking to put it right in your butt, and that's all they care about.
So that's the vibe I get, Sean. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you can tell. You can tell when you walk up and you go, sir, and they go, and you're like, okay.
That's it.
That sucks.
I mean, there's some things you got to go over Best Buy for, but for the most part, TVs ain't one of them. Now, I know they got the Geek Squad and shit, so if you want my girl's dad is the soundbar king of the world. Like every TV has to have a soundbar on it. We were just at their house this last week, and he's got awesome TVs in every room. He has a he has a sound bar. There's no, they're all mounted, no wires showing. So I get it when you want the Geek Squad to come out and make your shit look dialed in with the sound on point and all that shit. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about straight TV, Walmart or Costco or Amazon, everybody else can fuck right off.
Yep. Yep. There's no reason to go anywhere else.
You got a new podcast, Richie, called Bacon Focus.
Bacon Focus. You guys want to be on it Wednesday? I'm going to be killing it.
What's it about? It's about bacon.
Waffles. Two things we usually don't have but always want: bacon and focus. I'm writing this book right now called Bacon Focus: How to cure your ADD with bacon. Okay, I got this idea because my dog, I held out a piece of bacon to my dog, and he was just like, "Oh, you know, your dog's just locked in the zone. There's nothing else in the world." I thought, if I could focus like that just for a minute, I could get some shit done.
Okay.
So it's basically talking about regular old podcast stuff, but then we do something in it where we talk about just one little tiny thing you can do to get your shit together. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be inspirational. I don't want it to be fucking motivational. Look, you got your own shit, your own problems. You know when you're fixing them and when you're not. And it's just a place to talk about that kind of stuff. But yeah. And then I want to do food stuff too, man. You know, you do all those cool food shows. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Keep talking.
Okay. I'm just going to keep talking. And anything where I can. So what I'm going to start doing as well is bringing on bacon and pork products and talking about them.
I think it's a great idea. And you've been writing the book since 1987.
Since 2001, Dick.
I want you to get this book done.
Well, it keeps getting shorter because I thought, okay, there's no fucking good reason to write a book about being focused to make it long. Nobody likes reading anyway. I just needed to have, you know.
If you could just write one line every 6 days, you could have finished it by now.
Oh, I know. Well, again, it's not the fact that I'm not working on it. It's the fact that I'm doing so many other things, which is still, you know, plus, if I get this fucker done, it's going to be like, you know, the birth of Christ or something.
You just maybe not that big. You should write a book on napping. Bacon naps.
How hard it is to write when you're sleeping?
Dude, bacon naps could be the sequel to Bacon Naps. Focus. Bacon naps. Oh, God, shoot. That might be the best nap. Like an after breakfast nap, like when you got to get up early and you just house a bunch of fucking bacon and then you got to go to sleep right afterward.
Mm. No, it's the noodles. God. Best food for naps is noodles, man. A big carb load.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I do like that though, because my dog, when I do make bacon, my dog is never more locked in. Wow. Like, that dog will not. She get hit by a car and she won't blink. She just keep looking.
God, can you imagine if chicks loved bacon that much? Man, we'd be crushing. Whip out some bacon, they just follow you right home. Be the best.
Ever. You ever been hanging out like on a camping trip or like a weekend trip, and someone fucks up a bunch of bacon? Just like, come on, guy. I was with my girl and we were with a couple of hers
mm-hmm.
like a year and a half ago or somewhere in Vermont, and great dude, you know, he's a great guy, and this motherfucker, I come down burnt smelling bacon and he's got it out there like, who wants bacon? And I'm looking at it like, crows want this bacon. I don't even know if they this looks like 18-wheeler exhaust chips, my man.
The dog just left.
Yeah, the dog won't even focus on this. But then the next day I made the bacon and it was a little bit better.
Well, I gotta admit something, Sean. When I first met you, I wasn't sure how to figure you out. I thought you were kind of a prick, but then I got to know you, and you're still a prick, but you're really cool about it. But you know, when I saw your skills when you were cooking that week, we were here building the shed. I mean, your food was really great, and it was cool because you were into it. You threw all those little touches in there, and you know, when you love doing something, you're just better at it. And you really can, man, you can fucking cook like your husband's gonna come home and beat you. I really appreciate that. But I was thinking when you were talking a minute ago about how many times have you ever been somewhere where some dude's on the grill and you're watching him fuck it up. But it's his grill. So that's the king of the house throne. But when you're fucking it up, I'm like, you wanna come over and go, hey. Yeah, that's done. Just move that thing.
You know, it was funny this weekend on Easter. I got on Twitter and somebody quote tweeted it. But the head coach of, I don't know if it was Oklahoma, I don't know what, if he's a football coach or what he was, but he posted a picture of his brisket Yeah. It was absolutely horrible. It was like the most dry. It looked like a fucking plate of scabs. A big old cutting board full of scabbage. And I was, and everybody is just letting him have it, bro. How shitty his brisket looked. The smoke, there was no, I mean, it was just unreal how bad it looked. And I just felt bad. I'm like, man, his family's sitting here just trying to fake a smile while they eat this shit, bro.
God, dude. Scavages. It's like an Irish STD.
And you know what the worst part? And the worst part was, is that he had the balls to like, okay, I've fucked up briskets before. I mean, I've cooked a ton of them, so I'm trying to, you know, get better at them.
Right.
I've made really good ones. I've made average and I've made terrible. And never in a million years would I ever put a terrible brisket on Twitter, especially if you're the goddamn head coach of Oklahoma Sooners football. You got to have some respect. I mean, I know the Midwest, they don't fuck around with brisket.
Yeah.
Man, you can't be putting that up.
And you're like the dad of the team when you're the coach. So, I mean, come on. You represent more than just the guy on the grill. You got to nail that shit.
I bet you money he lost at least one great recruit over that post. Some guy from a food family like, man, I quit a guy. Mama, this guy don't know how to do brisket.
Yeah, some kid's dad was like, son, we're pulling you out of that school. Look at that man's brisket. No self-serving son of mine is going to go to a school with a fucking guy that makes brisket like that and has a balls of post-it.
I mean, can you really trust somebody who doesn't salt their food? They cannot be trusted.
No.
I mean, but if you eat without salt, like you're not fun. That's just what it tells me. You're not fun to hang out with.
You probably wear a mask in your own car when you're by yourself.
Oh my God. That's so true.
You know?
No, but that tells stuff about you. Like people are like, they don't put spice in their food. They're terrible in the sack.
Oh. Yes. Like I will immediately, you know, when I was single, after having sex with a girl, if it wasn't good, mm-hmm. I would immediately like, hey, go cook something real quick. And then no salt every time. And I'm like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. This is it.
Goes hand in hand.
And then I started flipping it. I got smart. Like, okay, make me a meal before we even decide to have sex. That way I know if this is an unsalted, unseasoned piece of shit, then there's no need to have sex because you're not going to know what you're doing.
And that's just you being a gentleman, because most guys wouldn't really care. They're like, well, at least I'll get a nut. But you're like, you know what? I'm not even going to waste the nut or the experience. I'm not going to let you call me an asshole. Like, it's my fault this didn't work out. When you cook like shit, I should have known you're going to be all teeth and gums.
Yeah, but she whips out a hot dog and puts hot sauce on it, it's going in the beehole. I promise you. Okay. It's going in. It's in like prison dick.
Yeah, bacon though, I like a lot. I like to bake it a lot.
Have you tried Wright's bacon, Sean? Huh? Have you tried Wright's bacon? WIGHTA? Mm. Man, it's so good.
What is it?
It's brand? Oh God, Lanning turned me on to it. It's
Brad Lanning?
Big, thick, buttery, bacony stuff. It's twice the price of regular bacon, and I just throw my money at it like a cheap whore.
Yeah, the quality bacon, I stopped buying shitty bacon a while ago. Yeah. If you don't know any better, you're like, $9 for a pack of bacon. But you're like, yeah, you're getting your money's worth. Believe me, that's the easiest $4 extra you're ever going to spend.
If you just throw your money at it like a cheap whore, that's contradictory. Like a cheap whore is not going to spend money. Mm-hmm. She's going to like hoard her money and probably go with cheaper bacon.
Yeah,
because that's like giving $10 for the shitty bacon, right?
Yeah, you meant with the financially irresponsible whore.
One that hasn't eaten for a little while.
Oh, like a starving whore.
I'm just a whore for food things. You know, I mean, let's be honest. You pay $9 for this pack of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go down there in Broad Ripple and spend $14 on a burger.
Yes.
And you get a pound of bacon to do whatever you want with.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the thing, too. I think people that really have their lives figured out know when to spend the extra money on quality and when to be cheap. Mm-hmm. Like you just said about the TVs, what are you, a dumbass? Don't go to Best Buy. But when it comes to like, you know, buy really good, you know,
And listen, guys, we're talking about eating like monsters right now, like irresponsible fat fucks. Like, you know, I what I suggest for all you guys is that you get yourself some pre-portioned meal plans in your life.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like benefitcustommeals.com is the best way to eat responsibly. Like everything is portioned exactly how you should eat it in a single setting. You get what, 5-6 ounces of protein, 2 ounces of veggies, 2 ounces of rice. I mean, it's perfectly portioned, and it's, I'm going to say this right now, absolutely delicious.
Yeah, you're getting 5 ounces of pork, you know, 5 ounces of protein, the 4 ounces of rice, 2 ounces of veggies. And you know what the best part is? It's loaded with flavor. Usually when you do this kind of thing, you're not getting the quality that you feel like you cooked it, or that it was cooked by somebody with love. And that's what Benefit Custom Meals is. It's a well-portioned, it's a perfectly portioned meal, but just perfectly seasoned, delicious, custom meal. And that's what Benefit Custom Meals is.
I promise you this. You won't have to add any of your own seasoning. You won't have to add any of your own like hot sauce, anything like that. It's perfect how it is. Just stick it in the microwave, 3 minutes, take it out, stir it up, put it back in for one more minute. And it is absolutely perfect and delicious. So you should get on board right now. I mean, right now. You can even pause this if you want. Get on benefitcustommeals.com. Pick out, you're going to get 15 meals for the price of 10. Here's how you do it. Just go find 15 different meals that you like. And every time that you select a meal right under it, you will also select 15 for $100. 15 for $100. That way they know you're on our program. And then at checkout, you'll enter the promo code GUNS. And then you get 15 meals that are priced at like $10 a piece anyway, like less than you spend on a fast food meal. 15 of those for $100.
I'm telling you what, make sure you get the dochi. If you're a spicy person, get the dochi. If you like spice, then you want the dochi. You're going to want to get tied up. That, you know, keep on rocking me, baby. Like, these are the types of spice meals that are just, they're just like, what do I have? A Taiwanese grandma in my house right now making this. And for that level of action, you're getting 15 meals for $100 flat. And if you live in Indianapolis, they'll bring it to you. They will bring it to you right to your house, freshly cooked to your door. And if you don't live in Indianapolis, don't worry. They will ship to you. They got your back.
Wait. You can ship anywhere, Sean?
Yeah, they will ship, Todd. They ship everywhere.
Wow.
Wow.
And we're not talking about just entrees here. They have an extensive breakfast menu. You know, they got the power pancakes. They got the fast break, which is, you know, that's, you know, you get crispy bacon wrapped around the perfect egg topped with spinach and mushrooms. Okay. And tomatoes and salt and pepper. And that's only 116 calorie meal right there. Then you got, you know, we're talking about bacon. That's where it's at. You got the breakfast bowl, you know, protein waffles, steak and eggs. You know, then if that ain't enough for you, they got the sweets. They got the sweets, Todd. They got the muffins, the protein balls, the brownie bites, the blueberry lemon muffins. Okay.
The protein balls are to die for, by the way. It's almost like just eating cookie dough, but it's got all these other goodness. I mean, it's just, you just get them. Just get them once and try them. And then if you don't like them, I will send you the money back for those protein balls.
Chef Kayla's working hard, Todd, and she's putting together one hell of a menu here. And at this price, then that taste, you can't go wrong. Just head over to benefitcustommeals.com and make sure when you select the meal, every meal you select down the 15 for 100 and then at the promo code GUNS at checkout and boom, you're in there. $100, 15 meals, you're set.
What is that, $7.50 a meal? You get 15 for 100.
Yeah.
That's like $7.50. That's like cheaper than fast food, and it's fresh and delicious. That's crazy.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself. This is awesome. Lose some of that ass that you need to lose and eat well.
I know. I'm telling you, man. That dochi, I still can't get over it, bro. How delicious. I love it. And that and the keep on rocking me, baby. Oh, man. That was just so much. It had just that, you know, that amount of spice when you're eating and you're like, it's spicy as shit, but then you just can't stop eating. You want to just keep going.
That means it's spiced perfectly.
Yep. So don't forget, this is one of our biggest hookups on this show. Yep. We're big advocates. And I'm telling you, if you're a fast paced person, you don't have much time to cook and you're getting tired of spending all your money on all these frozen shit meals at all these fast food restaurants. Well, don't worry. We got your back. Benefit Custom Meals, 15 for 100. Mm. Promo code GUNS. It's on. Thank us later.
All right. So we got Richie here, right? And I'm about to, after we're done recording, I'm taking him out to school him in some cornhole.
Not nice.
But we were talking about finding your motion or whatever, finding that
your shot,
your stroke, release,
finding the shot.
Yeah, finding the stroke.
I had it, and now I'm a little bit worried because I threw some bags after we talked about it on the coffee sesh. Mm-hmm. And first two rounds, I had a 4-bagger and a 3-bagger. And then I lost it.
See?
I lost the follow through. I couldn't find exactly where it was. So I don't know what's going to happen.
No, it happens like that. I felt that happen. It would come in streaks first. First, mm-hmm. It happened in streaks. I'd have for a few rounds, and I thought, damn it, where'd it go? But then all of a sudden, now I'm locked in. It just happens like that. I think whatever it is, you'll start to find it, and then it slowly comes, and then. Boom, it's there, right. And it won't go away, but you got to keep on working.
Nice. Now, Richie, we brought you on because you said you had a story about the first time that you had ever had a thumb up your ass. You want to share that with us?
The second or third time? The first time.
The very first.
Well, he was bigger than me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you do what you got to do. I mean,
are you talking about actually the real, do I have a story about that?
I don't know. I was putting you on the spot, hoping you had one.
Oh, well.
Do you really have one?
No, I don't have one.
You've never had a thumb up your ass ever?
Oh, not a thumb. I've had a girl.
A finger? You've had a finger in your ass?
Yeah. One little knuck? Not one knuck never hurt nobody.
No, one all the way. No, one. Yeah, one. This one girl. I'll tell you this. I'll never forget it. This girl. I worked at a little Walgreens store, like a little drug store when I was a kid. Okay. And there was this girl there named... I'm not going to say her first
name. I didn't know we were going to talk about a story from your childhood.
No, I got to tell you about this. So this girl was so smoking hot. I mean, her body was unbelievable. Face, not so great. But the rest of it was just cars wrecking off the road, looking at her walking down the street.
And how old are you?
I'm 16. So I'm 16. Can you imagine how dumb I was at 16?
It's not even calculated.
Consolation, how dumb you are now.
Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make, buddy. You're right there with me. Stay with me. So I finally just have the nuts to ask this girl for a date. She says, yes, I can't believe it. I go to I come home from work to get rid of my little vest and stuff. And she's with me. I said, we'll go to my house. I'll change clothes and then we'll leave. And we go to the house and I said, here, I'll just be a minute. My dad's asleep in the recliner when we get there, of course, like father, like son. And she's standing there and he's like, oh, hey, how you doing? He wakes up and he looks at her. And he's talking to her a little bit and we leave. We go out. We're in my dad's Velari. I had no idea about butt play at all from a woman. Never even came.
16.
I'm 16. I know nothing. And she was like 19. And uh-oh. So we're in the back of this car and she's like, hey. Check this out. And I was like, what planet am I on? Had no idea what the hell was going on. But anyway,
wait. Out of nowhere, on your way to your first date, she started playing with your asshole?
Yeah.
I mean, what a hooker. Like,
she didn't sing her fingers. She just got on it. Okay. She didn't.
Wait a second. Were you at least kiss her first? Or, I mean, did she go straight for without even a makeout?
No. I mean, we've been making out for hours. I mean, she didn't just run out. We went and parked somewhere and got in the back seat. And then
she was like, I'm getting all worked up now. Give me your butt.
And I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now with my life. Like, where am I? So I get home and I walk in the door and my dad's there and he goes, I go, so what'd you think? And he goes, I think that's too much woman for you to handle. That's what he said to me.
He was pretty damn good.
Not only was she hot as hell, he knew the deal. I was like, dude, she taught me so much. That's why I'm such a great lay now, buddy. A lot of it's because of her.
19 years old, and her first move is to go for the butthole. I mean, that
she must have been dating older dudes for quite some time.
She actually was.
There's no other explanation.
She went to jail for check fraud at some point in her life. I can guarantee that.
I guarantee this too. I wish you could just go back in my mind and see what her body looked like. I don't even know what to say. It's like if you took an ice skater's butt.
Mm-hmm.
She had like ice skater's butt, but just she just toned. I mean, she was a perfect 10 from the neck down. And above all, pretty feet.
Big knuckles, though. Big knuckles on her.
Just on that ring finger.
Oh, man. I remember when I was in like, the very first time I attempted, somebody wanted to kiss me. I was in like sixth grade, something like that. I don't remember. I was in California. I remember I was out on the playground and this girl came up to me. She goes, "Hey, Denise wants to date you for a couple of weeks. And she wants to date you and French kiss you one time." And I was like, okay. You know, I don't know what, I guess so. So, but I was scared shitless, right? I don't know. I don't want to kiss no chick. I'm in sixth grade. I'm all nervous. So I'm bobbing and weaving this chick, you know, we whatever, we're dating at school. And but by the way, I never knew at that time that this was like an agreement. Like she wanted to know if you want to go out for 2 weeks and she wants to make out with you one time. I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm scared shitless. So
planner.
Yeah, I'm bobbing and weaving this. I'm nervous as shit. So one day she catches me slipping. I'm walking home. She catches me out walking between home and school. And she goes, you want to go make out? And I was like, yeah. So we go back behind the school and I'm nervous as shit. So she's a seventh grader and I'm like she's 2 years older than me. So we go behind the school. It's already, you know, school's out or whatever. It's like 5 o'clock. We go behind the school and then I go in for the kiss. And I used to have this tooth right here is fake. So, but it used to be a big old buck tooth, right? I think this stuck out, right? And we go in for the kiss and we bang teeth. We just straight bang teeth, bro. And she goes, "Oh, you got buck teeth." And I was like, "Oh."
Oh no.
And then we just walked it off, bro. Didn't even try again. And then she broke up with me after that. That was my first kiss situation. Like my first attempt, not my first one. That was my first attempt.
I think I was sixth grade and this girl, you know, just like you said, you make an agreement to be, you know, to a third party always to be boyfriend, girlfriend. So her friend came up, was like, "Yeah, she wants to be your girlfriend," whatever. I'm like, okay, well, we're going on there was a field trip to the bowling alley that night for a school field trip. So she's like, "You got to go." And I was like, okay. So I go, everybody's bowling and we sneak outside behind these bushes. And she's like, "Hey, she wants to kiss you." And I'm like, okay. So I kiss her and I didn't know anything about tongue or open mouth kissing, anything like this at this point. And then after she's like, "You can use your tongue if you want." And I was like, "For what?" Like I had to let me use my tongue. Like what? She's like, "You kiss me with your tongue." And I was just like, oh, I knew enough. I was a smart kid. I'm like, what I think I'm about to do with my tongue as my first guess what to do with it is going to be terribly wrong. And then she's going to go tell everybody that I just fucking came at her with just, or just my tongue out first, you know? And so I'm like, I was just honest. I go, "I don't know what you're talking about. Just do it to me. And I'll figure it out, I guess." So she teaches me how to French kiss there. And then afterwards she was like, her friend came up and she said, "You don't know how to French kiss, so she doesn't want to be your girlfriend anymore." And I was like, okay.
Send in the professionals.
Old shit. These older chicks just stunting our young growth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
You know what else? Remember when I walked away, we were holding hands, and she saw someone she knew, and she let my hand go.
Oh, man. Isn't that funny?
Oh, I just got my ass just busted up. Oh, so... Oh. Man, I don't remember
my first kiss. I was kissing girls my whole life, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was before cars. It was riding horses. It was probably out back stables or something like that.
Anywhere there was a corner, I was on the other side of it kissing somebody.
Did you grow up in Louisville?
I grew up all over the place. My dad worked for Reynolds Metals and he was really ambitious. So anytime he would get a promotion, we would move. So I was born in Indiana and we lived in Indiana, another place in Indiana. Then we moved to Michigan, then another place in Michigan, then Chicago, then Richmond, Virginia, and then back here. So, you know, I was always a new kid at school all the time and stuff like that. But
Is that where you first got like good at comedy? Like you had to impress people quick. So you're like, I'm just going to be funny.
I just come from a really funny family. I got a lot of really funny people that are funny. My cousin Richie is twice as funny as me.
Really?
Oh, he's so, my mother told me, she goes, if Richie ever starts doing comedy, he's going to pass you like a rocket.
Do you have his contact info?
I'll send it to you. And I tried, check it out. So this guy's a self-made. Okay. He's my exact size. We're the same size. He's 2 years older than me. We used to work for my uncle's water treatment company. He went out and started his own water treatment company with a fake name of Rick Thompson. He still got the business card and he's the hardest working guy you ever met in your life. He worked his full-time job. Then he built this thing. Me and him built it in his garage. We bought a big 100-gallon tank and a canoe paddle and started mixing up our own shit and selling chemicals for cooling towers and boilers. So he ends up, I'm just making this quick to tell you how badass this guy is, and he's this funny as well. So he buys a piece of land, a 5-acre piece of land, pays cash for it every month. Once the last payment is paid, he builds a lumber package and we build a pole barn. And right now they're doing about $3.5-4 million a year. Everything's paid for. He's got 20 employees, 20 trucks. He makes just stupid money. He built his own dojo and jujitsu, and he's a black belt.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, this guy. Oh, okay. You might have met him. Okay.
Yeah.
But he's so funny. I tried to get him to do a podcast with me years ago. I'm like, dude, you don't understand. If you get on a podcast, he's just the funniest dude I ever met. He's so funny, and it's just so natural. He's funnier than every comedian I know.
Really?
Yeah, just in regular conversation. Yeah, and you know the whole thing about Will, try it on stage. He can't. Okay, I had a 50th birthday roast. 40th birthday roast. Yeah, that was different. That my wife put on for me. So all these big time, really good comedians are on this roast. He went up there and just ate their lunch.
Really?
And he wrote it in the stands at his daughter's basketball game on the way to the fucking thing.
Of course.
I mean, he's that funny. Last time I talked to him, I said, you need to get a podcast. He'd be big as Rogan. But anyway, I come from a really funny family, so, and a lot of good storytellers.
My girlfriend did that because she was, she was a teacher, but part-time server at Morty's Comedy Joint. And Miss Pat asked her to be on her roast because she always thought Angie was funny. So she was like, be on my roast, be on the panel and be a roaster. And she was like, no. And she's, Miss Pat, if she wants you to do something, you're doing it. Yeah. So she's on, man. She's on. I was out of town, so I had to make a video for my thing. But so I sent that. But I was like, I'll help you write the jokes if you want. And she was nervous, like so nervous to the point that she was crying all night the night before. Like she's like, I'm going to go up and it's going to be horrible, whatever. And I wrote her all these jokes, and sent them to her. She didn't use one of my fucking jokes, by the way, which kind of pissed me off. But she fucking wrote all her own jokes, goes up there and fucking destroys the panel. Like she's by far the best one, the best roaster on the entire panel. Out of all the comedians there on Miss Pat's roast, better than me, better than everybody. And then she retired from comedy. Everybody tried to talk her into doing stand up, and she's like, no, I'm going out on a bang. That was the best.
She was always the best at randomly bagging on you in the lobby too.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
When you're just sitting there waiting to go up where you just got off, like when we were in the Motor Pugs, she would just lay into us about the fucking Motor Pugs, bro. I would die.
What are the Motor Pugs? What a great name.
That was our group. That was our improv, our stand-up comedy improv group name. When I first moved to Indy, we had a group going.
Yeah,
Motor Pugs. I'm gonna get that tattooed on my something.
Motor Pugs. That's what surprise for a flight.
She used to lay us, man. She'd always just get us. She always had impeccable timing.
Yeah, she's got great comedy instincts. And we play that one game. Bowers always wants to play this game on streaming. People listening will know what it is, but it's kind of like cards. Cards for Humanity or whatever that game
cards
is. Cards Against Humanity, but it's like way better and it's for streaming. She fucking beats everybody's ass and that every time. It's like demoralizing. So yeah. I think I'm just gonna have her start writing my set.
God, it sure sucks when your girl's funnier than you.
I know, it really is.
My lady would never in a million years say do stand up in front of anybody, but she has like the best like attitude style, you know, like which is like I'll be saying something on the I'll be playing Call of Duty or something, you know, and then I'll be like it's a fucking cheater or something, and she always says something. It's not a she always says something to just perfectly say like in the moment, and only I can hear it, you know.
Yeah,
but she's she is just well timed when she wants to talk her shit.
Bowers nailed my ass a while back. He said I was talking to something, but he was talking about how much I read and all the stuff I know and stuff like that. And he's like, I go, look, man, I go, just because I spent a lot of time in my life in the country, I said, I'm smarter than people think I am. And he goes, well, you'd have to be.
Let's talk about HelloFresh for a second. Listen, HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get your dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. Now, this is not meal prep. This is actually them sending you all the ingredients for a recipe that's put together by a chef that's easy for you to cook with, let's say, your girlfriend or your significant other. It's like a fun activity. Or if you're a single dude who just likes to cook, but you don't really have the time to go out and shop and get all the exact ingredients you want for like a meal calendar that you have planned for yourself, this is a quick, easy way to do it. The chefs at HelloFresh make it easy for you. You can try meals ready in 20 minutes or less, lightning prep recipes, and quick breakfasts or lunches, perfect for your busy schedule. HelloFresh offers 25 plus recipes to choose from each week, from vegetarian meals to craft burgers and extra special gourmet options. There's something for everyone to enjoy with all recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Now, listen, I've tried these. My girl and I have set and cooked these together, and it is fun. Like, you have everything there. It's almost like you can't screw it up. Now, I also like to cook where I like to experiment on my ingredients and stuff, because I've learned a lot from living with Sean in the years and watching $20 Chef. So I've kind of grown as a cook through him. But if you say you're just not good at doing that, then you really should look at HelloFresh, because it's almost impossible to screw it up. So try that. Get with your significant other. Plan a night of it. Cook you some HelloFresh. Have a good time and eat some great food. That's, you know what? That's good for you. So
you know what I like, Todd? I like that I don't have to go to the grocery store and buy too. I always end up buying too much. You know, that's the problem. You know, first of all, it's more expensive. But when you go HelloFresh, we're talking about 28% cheaper than shopping at the grocery store, because you're getting exactly what you need to cook. You're not getting 10 onions for one meal. You're getting exactly what you need, and you're getting it 28% cheaper.
Think about how much food you throw away. If you're really honest about how much money, I bet if we really knew the exact number of how much money we waste on food that goes bad in our fridge while we're going out to eat. I mean, and this is, there's no waste with this.
How to cook for four people. Like, that's one fault that I have. Like, I can't just cook for two people. I definitely can't just cook for just one. So, and I'm always like, well, that's okay. I'll just put half of it in the fridge later for leftovers. I never get to it. So it always gets thrown away, and I don't have dogs anymore to give it to. So this is something that could really trim a lot of waste from your life. So go to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing12 and use code GunsBlazing12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing12. And then also use the code GunsBlazing12 at checkout for 12 free meals, including free shipping. I'm
doing that right now. I'm really doing it.
It's really a good time. I'm not kidding. So
just so you know, hey, Rich, don't forget, it's HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing12.
Yes. And then use the code GunsBlazing12 at checkout. So I don't want you to get confused, like, hey, but you just did the thing with other thing. This is a meal prep. This is a whole different operation, you know? So one is nothing like the other. So it just depends on what you're into or what you're looking to do.
And this is America's number one meal kit. Okay. This is what we're talking about here. You got the time, you're at home. Get a little bondage going here. Bond with your woman, bond with your family. Get a little meal cook, become better in the kitchen, and save money while doing it.
Yes. Now, back to you, Richie. We talked about your first finger in the butt.
It was not a finger. Okay. I don't know when that was. Okay.
It was rim play. It was rim play.
Rim play. Your first kind of experiment with rim play. Orally, how do you stand on like a tongue on your asshole? Like, or do you do that? Do you toss salad? Do you like yours being tossed?
Until my kids are grown, I'm probably not going to be sharing all that stuff with you, but I will. But I will tell you this. Kids are out there listening, kids. When a Christian man and a Christian woman love each other and they want to make a baby, but they don't want one in 9 months, they can do other things. I think this, if I'm with somebody I love, there's nothing off limits for me.
Really? That's interesting.
If there's one part on you I won't lick, then we don't need to be hanging out.
Even that part. It's off limits for me, Sean. Like, I'm not going to do that. I don't want you, definitely don't want you doing it to me just because I respect you as a person. And I know what happens down there to me. Like, I'm 49. There's a lot of things that come out of there that shouldn't at this, you know, it's just part of getting older. There's a lot of leakage, whatever. You know, I don't want you exposed to that. So
leakage, where the hell did that come from?
It's from my butt.
That's why you got to go right to the.
Oh, I heard you in there today. Yeah.
Fresh out the shower, Todd.
Well, fresh out of the shower, maybe in the shower. Maybe I would try it in the shower while the water's running down, because I know it's like
massage room,
real time cleanliness. Mm-hmm. But definitely not just spur of the moment, end of the night. Hey, let's have sex before we go to bed, go to sleep. I'm not doing it. And don't do it to me, because it's going to be bad for you.
Yeah.
What about you, Sean? What about you?
Listen, I'm not saying that in my life has it come up a time or two, but you know, yeah. Look, especially in that moment, you know, in the specific showered areas. Okay, you know, maybe during the shower, but straight out after a night. No, I don't want to subject anybody to that, bro. I'm at the point in my life where somehow shit can get underneath the toilet seat. Like, I don't even know how that trajectory works. So I wouldn't want to subject my lady to that.
Well, it's only
Mr. Analingus over here. He's got the butthole. Focus.
How did this get here?
You got butthole.
That's
focus.
The only reason I'm on the phone. You're like, I'm going to bring him in here. Just make him the butthole king. He needs somebody to smack the fuck around. I'm still mad at that bitch breaking up with me about the tongue thing in fifth grade. I'm going to punish this
butthole
dude.
Focus.
Oh,
man, that's good, bro.
Well, you walk into a stranger.
You walk right into a trap today, buddy.
That's a bear trap.
That's funny.
You just headlined Helium Comedy Club. How was that?
It was fucking awesome.
That's a great club, man.
Hey, before we forget, make sure everybody subscribes to the YouTube. Hey, guys, go ahead and subscribe. Okay.
Right now. Stop what you're doing. Pause this for real quick. Mm-hmm. Go to YouTube, Guns Blazing Podcast YouTube channel. Subscribe. Trying to get that up to 1,000.
How was your weekend, Rich? You have some good shows?
Yeah, and we had a lot of people in there, too, because they had Russell Peters was going to be there, and then he canceled, and then John Caparello was going to be there. He canceled, and I was supposed to feature for them, and Avery just said, you want to headline? I said, hell yeah. So, and my niece came up from – she just moved here. I need to introduce you to her, Madison. She's working up here and living here now. So she brought 15 girls. And then my super fan Rex came. You know Rex?
Yeah, Rex and Nikki go everywhere go, bro.
Yeah, they go everywhere I go and they show up. And I called him, I was like, hey, and then they pay full price to see me. I'm like, dude, look, I'm gonna cut you off the pass here, and paid for his ticket, or you know, got free comps for him. So no, but it was great. We did a lot of stuff. Brett Terhune is so funny and so cool.
He's hilarious. Oh, he middles for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm that funny nice. Motherfucker.
Yeah, I know you're that funny, but I'm just saying from a numbers standpoint, I thought he would only be headlining anywhere he does.
Yeah.
Well, I messaged him. I asked him, I said, hey, look, I know you're a headliner, so I'm not trying to insult you. You know that deal. I said, I said, if you're not doing anything. And he said, yeah, cool. And I thought, wow, man, he'll bring a bunch of people. And I was talking to him. I said, did you, he was really concerned with whether he was, because he was rusty, he hadn't been on in a while. And he was really concerned about it. And I'm like, you're concerned about it? Like, why would you ever be concerned about it? He's so funny. And, but he said, no, I didn't tell people about this one just for, I didn't want to punch in people to see me suck. And I'm like, how are you going to suck, bro? I mean, yeah. What?
But that's why his craft, you know, that's why his craft is so high, because he's very meticulous about it. Like,
oh, yeah.
That motherfucker's sure. Videos, that guy's a savage, bro.
Dude, he used to do this character, Sean, around here called Coney Danza. And it's him, him in a hot dog suit. And all he does is he would go up at the open mics and just do nothing. His entire set was just hot dog jokes. It was so funny, dude. He was always good for shit like that.
Oh my God, that's so funny, dude.
Yeah. And just committing to the character is just so, I mean, God damn, it's so funny.
Did you see him on the podcast, Joel McHale, and who's the Asian dude's name from
Dr. Ken?
Yeah, Doctor. Did you see him on there?
No.
Oh, dude, so he's just killer. He's rednecking out, like, and he's mm-hmm.
His character.
And Dr. Yeah. Ken was, yeah, but Dr. Ken was kind of like, you could tell he's seeing and listening to it, and it's like he would almost act like he was actually the real dude. And then every time he would like get a little nervous, he'd ramp it way up and be like, oh damn, we're fucking. I mean, it was so good. He was so good on there. They couldn't do shit with him.
It was full in character, and he kept calling Joe McHale. He'd be like, you know what I'm talking about, talk soup.
Oh shit. God, it's so good, bro. Watching people in the comments get suckered into the character is my favorite. And then everybody's like, you just been Terhune'd.
And you can't. The thing is, when you're doing a character like that, you can't hesitate. You can't pause. You gotta. Huh. He stepped on the gas. I don't know, like three or four big times. It just took it off, man. And it was just perfect.
Yeah, good for him, man. Because he was always trying creative shit like that. You know, it's good to see the one of them took off. Outside of like being, you know, famous for it in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's a lot of times you see what does blow up on the internet is when someone does just over 110% commit to a character that they build. You know, my buddy Frankie Quinones blew up, but with a cholo fit.
Yes, that was so funny when you first showed
Creeper. Funny. Now he's humongous. He has his own wine line now. Mm. I mean, he's on commercials and shit.
He's a comic?
I think he is. Yeah, his name is Frankie Quinones. He has a show on TBS. I mean, he's got all kinds of stuff, and he's very advanced in his career. But he's got, it's called the Dress Up Gang, and he's been in festivals. But now he has this character called Creeper from Cholo Fit, and it's just getting millions of views. It's fucking hilarious.
Do you want to talk about your character idea?
You mean my cornhole one?
No, the original one, the one you were cooking up for a long time. But never did.
Which, I mean, that could be anything.
Dick Camaro.
Oh, yeah. Dick Camaro.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about the same
thing. Okay, same thing.
Oh, Sean, you're going to love this. So Dick Camaro is this dude. Obviously, he's pretty much of a badass because his name's Dick Camaro. But Dick Camaro is a cornhole enthusiast and a philosopher.
Oh, okay.
He's also a self-help guy who can help you get your life worked out. But he's got to take a look at how you throw a cornhole bag. So you come out and you throw a bag and he looks at you and goes, so why do you hate your mama? I can tell from just his shoulder right here, you got a little bit of homophobia and don't know if that's real or not. You know, so he's just working with people to help them get their shit together. And he said he's phobic about left-handed people and Methodists. So we started when we were back playing cornhole all the time, back when I used to have my game still, me and Lanny and Bazanis and all those guys, we kept coming up with all these scenarios for Dick Camaro, and we'd narrate it while we're throwing the game and go, okay, it's a 1989 Winter Nationals here in Stockholm, Sweden. Dick Camaro is up right now having a terrible time against his arch nemesis, Sanchez. Sanchez, who recently did some dirty online stuff to hurt his son's grades, is da-da-da-da-da. So, and we would just sit there and drink beer and talk and make up these scenarios about Dick Camaro. And he's, you know, and it's like this, you know, Ali Frazier type dude. He's a country dude, but he's like super smart and can fix anything and da 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 da. It's like whatever. It's like, well, you know, whatever it is, Dick Camaro can handle it. You know,
it's that like you, but way exaggerated.
Yeah,
basically.
That's right. Oh man. So I thought that was so fun, but I didn't really have a place to plug it in. I didn't really know how to make it, you know, how do you turn that into something? I mean, I like the name.
Oh yeah.
You know what it is? I think it's just a, and I don't know. There's like a certain type of person where you just fully commit to it and just start posting it and that's it and hoping it pops off.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of times, like I think, especially me with the kind of character stuff, like I had one decent character pop off and that was Polar Vortex.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing fucking exploded, but I never took it to the next level.
Right.
I should have. We cartooned it once, but overall, you know, and that's like the only thing people still request for me to do from Pat, right, from the Pat days.
Right.
And, but I just never ran with it. I half-assed it. You have to fully commit to it. Like Brett, you know, like that guy put a video, every time something happened, he took it and ran with it. No matter what it was, he took it and ran.
Yes.
And you just can't care about what people think or the first reactions. You just got to keep putting it out there. And then,
because that character, which, you know, when you look it up on his social media, I was making fun of him for it because I'm like, it's Brent Terhune. It's his real name, Brent Terhune. Mm-hmm. But he's in character as somebody else. But it's Brent Terhune is the name you see on the social media account. Yeah. So he was like, yeah, I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. You know, it was just something fun I was doing for my friends locally. And then this one day I turned around and it went viral and it took off and I was stuck with my own name on it. Like, he was like, if I'd have known it was going to take off, I'd have created a character name. But
yeah, exactly.
I wrote him a line during the Democratic National Convention. I said, don't forget, folks, what DNC stands for. Don't know shit.
dude. He kills that shit.
Well, his wordplay is so good. I mean, his wordplay is just fucking, he's just nailing, and he's always like one off, like calling him Tuck Soup. I mean, that's perfect. That joke was explained to you just like that with two words.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
Did you know much about Tim Wilson, Sean?
No, not much at all.
He's kind of a legend. He got huge on Bob and Tom, but also like Billy Cardell, like got his start through Tim. Like he was big and like all comedians knew Tim, right?
Billy Cardell?
Yeah, he got Billy Cardell his start and signed with his manager and shit initially. So anyway, he's just legend of a road comic. He just always wanted to do it his own way, so he kind of stuck in the Bob and Tom market. He had chances to take off several times and, you know, glances of fame, and then he just like, nope, I don't do it my way, right? So he's a guitar comic, but also he does a lot of just stand up too within his act. But hanging out with Stuart Huff this week, I always love hanging out with Stuart Huff because he toured with Tim so long. He has all these legendary Tim stories from the road. And he's like, dude, what the? We were at this, like, he had sold out this club, like 350 people in there or whatever. He usually did theaters. So Tim didn't take no shit. Like, somebody lipped off at the crowd and, you know, he could have fun with you. But if it borderline, like, was racist or something like that, because he was married to a black woman, mm-hmm. like, he had a very quick trigger. So one
time, I saw him whoop a dude's ass at Comedy Off Broadway in the crowd.
Did you really?
I was there for it. Yeah. I said, one more time, one more word. Dude said one more word. He came down in the crowd and slapped him around.
Well, he was telling me about the time he broke a dude's collarbone. He jumped off the stage and like a downward kick as he landed off the stage and snapped the dude's collarbone. He had to go to court for it and everything. And I was just like, holy shit, man. I missed like... I don't have any of those stories. Like, I wasn't ever like in the depths of hell, you know, with stand up like some of these guys were. But you had a fight once, right? You guys took it to the parking lot?
A handful of times. No, one time I was in Phoenix, I was on this first date, and somebody overheard me talking. Me and her were talking. I was downtown Phoenix on a Tuesday night, and somebody overheard us talking, and they go, "Hey, yeah, man, they're doing an open mic around the corner. You should go do it, man. They'd love to have you." And I was like, okay, you know, so me and her walk over, and I knew the guy running it. He put me up, but he put me up. I was going to go up last because I had already had some Comedy Central credits.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to throw me up last as a special guest.
Right.
So, but I'm watching. It's the worst crowd I ever seen. And I couldn't believe it. And I mean, it wasn't like it was a hardcore room. I've done gangster ass rooms in LA with actual gangsters that would throw bottles at you. And I would be nervous. Like,
right.
Actual audience members that scare you. These people were all from like they came from a fucking charity run. And they were wearing
Harley.
Yeah, they were wearing like fluorescent colored shirts, like a 5K for something.
Oh,
like,
a run. I thought you meant
like these are a bunch of soft ass people in here. And they're yelling at the comics being pretty much terrible. Yeah. But right. Hey, fuck off if you don't like it, bro. Get a beer and laugh at how bad they are.
Right.
You know, but they're yelling shit out like, why do you do this? You suck. Shit like that, right?
Oh.
And I'm in the back. This is when I was drinking whiskey heavy, and I had a little bit of a problem. And I had a lot of hate coming out, and I was just in the back just cooking up, bro. Just cooking up. I'm on the patio. You're listening to people talk shit, and I go back in, and I'm on my fifth glass of whiskey, and then they call me up on stage, and I go up there, and I go, I ain't saying one joke. You know, they gave me the whole fucking spiel open. This last guy's a special guest. You'll see him on Comedy Central. And I get up there, bro, and I got a fucking Miller Lite, and I got a glass of whiskey, and I drink my whiskey. I go, this is the worst room of comedy I've ever seen in my life. I'm not telling you motherfuckers one joke. You guys suck balls. And I'm laying into them. I go, I don't know who you think you are. Do you think Richard Pryor's going to walk in here at an open mic on a Tuesday, you pieces of shit? The level of disrespect you've shown these comedians is absolutely horrendous. You can all fuck right off. And I go, you too. I heard you outside, that mouth, all that shit you were talking. And then kind of yelling stuff, right? But I'm being pretty aggressive. Everybody else was very soft before me.
Right.
And I'm obviously can be a very aggressive dude. And then I go, you know what? I don't matter to me. It don't matter because I could beat the fuck out anybody in here. And then from the back of the room, all I hear is like a chair being like tossed to the side. And this dude just comes barreling at me. He's full speed ahead, bro. So I put down. Yeah, I put my beer and the drink down. And whenever he gets up to me, I fucking pushed. I put every ounce of might in my body and launched this kid. Two hand push to his chest. And he goes flying backwards. But the best part is that all the chairs are on wheels in there. So he goes flying, hits a chair on wheels, and keeps on going backwards. So he's gone, bro. He's a good 15 feet out. And then I get surrounded by like eight people in fluorescent shirts. So I fucking jump down, bro. I'm in full on. Let's roll. Who's going to do it? Let's go. Who's going to do it, pussies? I'm yelling at them. But they're all bitches. Ain't none of them going to do nothing.
Right.
So we get out. So then the bouncer kicks me out.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, little pussies, I'll be outside if anybody wants to step it up. So then we get outside and one dude decides he's come out there. And this guy was just drunk balls.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out there and he's like, girl's holding him back. I'm like, yeah, your lady's holding you back. So he gets around her and I just bitch slap this guy right across the face, bro. I didn't want to actually punch him because I felt bad, but I just wind up, wham, bro, right across his face out in front, bro. And then they kick me out, dude. And the girl never talked to me again. This guy has anger problems.
Dude, but I couldn't believe it. Bitch slap. If you do it right, you can clock a motherfucker with a bitch.
I would rather be punched than open hand slap.
God. He just walked away like nothing happened. Because he had no business trying to fight. I think that he thought that if people pretended to hold him back, nothing would happen.
Right.
I mean, Louisville one time almost got in a fight with some old dude. And I mean, I've been in several, somebody threw a bottle at me. Before in a room that time I was actually scared because they were real gangsters. I moved my shit I kept making fun of them, but then I didn't come out the back for about 2 hours. I was waiting for everybody to leave, bro. Those guys, that was in Montebello. That was a real gangster room.
Damn.
But
yeah,
that was that. But the best part was like looking back, was watching that guy, like his hands and his feet as he rolled out of that chair, rolled right through the middle back of the. But I honestly, yeah. but the comedians basically carried me out of there like fucking like I was Troy.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Like yeah, because I mean, you know what? There was some terrible comedy going on there, but I just couldn't believe like these soft ass people were acting like they were some hardcore people.
I know exactly like, those people too. Like, cause they all play in a beach volleyball league together, you know, on Tuesday nights.
And
they
not
play.
Even 2-on-2, it's like 6-on-6, like a
yes,
bunch of clowns.
Yes. Co-ed volleyball. They like their whole circuit, and then they all did the 5K run together. Yeah, just
groups. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Too many of you people in one place make me nervous. That's what Cleveland said.
Yeah.
You know what? You all are in your fucking group because you ain't a lone wolf like we are.
Yeah, bro. That was a good one. That was a wild one that time.
That is wild, bro.
I just remember that just sitting there letting it cook up, dude, in the back of the room, just letting it cook. Just waiting to go up there, telling them they ain't shit. I haven't done it. So open mic on a Tuesday, buddy. What do you think's gonna show up? George Carlin? Richard Pryor? You think you can watch Pryor? It was at a gay bar downtown Phoenix.
You said it was like a gay bar downtown Phoenix?
No, it was at a gay bar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing too that people go in there and be like that to the guys performing. And I tell you one thing, like when I was in Ireland, there's no hecklers. I mean, I did 6 shows over there and I did not see, there was not one heckler. They just sit there and listen and cheer. It's like a theater crowd, but they're mm-hmm. crammed in all these tiny little spaces and these mm-hmm. old buildings and stuff. Nobody does that. They're just cool. They're just the yeah. art of story. It's the art of storytelling to them. And over here, they're like, ooh, ooh, and all this kind of shit.
Yeah. Like, oh my God.
That shit just, oh, it's so bad.
Yeah. That same way in Australia, everybody was so nice and respectful and they just listened, man. They listen. They just enjoyed it.
Well, it's like trying to tell somebody a joke while they're talking to somebody. They're not going to get it.
Yeah.
You got to listen to the setup. You got to mm-hmm. listen to the punch or you don't get it. But then they don't listen to the first part. You know, I don't know. I didn't think it was that funny. And you're like, what the bitch? You were on your phone the whole time. What do you want?
Yeah.
I don't know how, like I've gotten lucky. I never had like anything that confrontational, but I've crossed the line a couple times and just gotten away with it for whatever reason. One time I was at Wiley's and, you know, were you with me when that drunk lady that brought her son for his 21st birthday just ruined the whole show? It might've been Vibbert or was it you? She ruined the whole show. I mean, the whole night before I went up, like everybody's set got fucked because she just would not shut the fuck up. She wanted the whole show to be about her. It was her and another lady and this 21-year-old dude who turned out to be her son at the table. And she just after everything you said, oh, tell me about it. Like, or remember when you went and did that? Remember, hey, tell him about the time you got pregnant and that, you know, just going and like the whole show, bro. So finally, when I get up there, she's going on and I'm trying to ignore her at first. And then she goes, it's his 21st birthday. And I go, all right, happy birthday. And 21st, I said, give him a beer. It's his 21st birthday, beer on me. And she goes, make fun of him. He's my son. Make fun of him. And I go,
such cringe.
Oh, I was like, I think he's clearly been through enough the last 21 years. Like he's here on his 21st birthday with his loud ass mom and nobody can stand. Like that's how he's celebrating his 21st birthday. I was like, hey, better. I said, you know what? When we're done, I have a rope in my trunk. You can just borrow that and just get this shit over with. Like just hang yourself, brother. Cause it's like not getting any better. And she got pissy. She got pissy and started going off. And then somebody from the crowd from behind her goes, if you don't shut the fuck up, it was another lady. I'm going to drag you out of here by your hair. And I was like, oh shit. I just started the fucking war. Yeah. This is going to be bad or whatever. And she turned around like all shitty. And she looked at this lady behind her and this lady looked like she could drag her out of there by her hair. No problem. And she just grabbed her purse and fucking left. And then everybody was like, oh, and I said, get her a beer.
But that's how it is. That mm-hmm. lady, that one bitch that won't shut up, that makes the show all about her, always gets mad when you say something.
Oh, yeah.
Always. My buddy Michael Perkins told me a month ago, he's like, man, you remember the improv? That lady in the wheelchair? you kicked that lady's ass in the wheelchair. I'm like, what? I didn't even remember. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, and then I start remembering. He tells me the story. I got heckled by this lady in a wheelchair.
Oh.
And she came in halfway during my set at the Improv when it was downtown. And she's like, rah! just the yelling like a pirate yelling from another ship. Shit, you know, just she kept just launching shit, and yet it's not anything decipherable that you can. You can't work with it. You can't. It's just. Rah, 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 rah. I'm like, look, bitch. I said, and I'm laying off. You know, I'm laying off because I don't want to say some. You know, you say some shit to a lady in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna fucking shoot a hole in my own butt. So finally, she said
tell you.
Something about I don't know what. I finally drew my sword and gave her something. I said something like, bitch, you know, something. She goes, what? She goes, I'll kick your ass. And I said, you will? She goes, you think I can't kick your ass? And I go, not if there's stairs. And they went, oh, like that. I said, I'm just going to look for stairs, lady. And fucking, oh, God, it was awful. But, I mean, you talk about pull a punch. Fuck this. Yeah. Let her have one.
The funniest thing I ever seen was at Morty's. And the whole, remember in the old club, you guys were, if you're stage left, that upper tier that was like a third of the room seating wise,
yeah,
that whole tier was there was a cancer fundraiser charity, and they had their 5K run that day, and were there. You know, they bought a group package for this thing, and before the show, like. Avery was smart, the manager. He did an announcement. He thanked them for being there, you know, and everybody applause, whatever. And it's that way, like all the comics know. And plus, he went. He had a meeting in the green room before it was an open mic, and he had a meeting with all the comics. He said, "Hey, just so you guys know, this upper tier, like a third of this crowd, well, actually, probably half the crowd was the cancer fundraiser people." So Bowers was somewhere else, got to the show late, goes up toward the end and does nothing but this new bit he was working on about how cancer fundraisers are bullshit. And fucking, he's getting nothing, right? So he's getting nothing. So he just keeps diving at it harder. He's like, what? Like, and the whole bit was about how, you know, we're not curing cancer, but we keep having the fundraisers. Like, where's all the money going or whatever? And then he borrowed a line that I had back, that was just a one-liner in it that said, what if running 5 kilometers, what if one day they find out that running 5 kilometers causes cancer? Like, and Jesus Christ. I mean, he could not have custom made a set to go wrong more perfectly than he did on this night, by not knowing that those people were there, and he is eating the biggest dick. And then finally he just stops and he goes, all right, what the fuck's going on? Like, this bit's funny. Like, why is it getting nothing? And then I yell from the back room. I'm like, because half the crowd's here for a cancer fundraiser. And he goes, okay, thank you. Good night. And he just fucking walked off.
That's a good move.
And that got a huge laugh. And he just, afterward, he apologized. And they were like, actually, they were like, we were laughing, but we were afraid to laugh out loud because we were afraid to make the other people uncomfortable. Like, we were laughing at your misery, so we got something out.
That's a mean Bowers move right there.
Funny.
I had this joke where I said, well, the thing where I talk about, can we all just have a show where no one's offended? And I said if you got, you know, I don't care, we're here to make fun of everybody equally, so I don't care if you got one eye, three legs, black, white. If you're a Siamese twin and you're sitting in the front row, I'm probably going to say some shit. But I remember one time I used to say, I don't care if you got one eye or one leg. And then there was a dude, there was an amputee, a military guy in the front row. And I was like, I'm not saying that. So then I added to the three legs because nobody's got three legs. And that's a better way to say
it. You gauged the crowd and changed it.
Yeah, because I'm not going to, you know, that's going to make somebody feel weird. So, you know, I switched it up.
You got to, like, and if you're doing something, like, that's what I loved about Bowers. Like, he doesn't, like, if I was getting nothing early on in that bit, I'd be like, okay, abort, go to something else. He fucking dragged it out, dude, and just went harder and harder.
Just committed.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. We were in the green room fucking on the floor rolling, laughing so hard.
I bombed my tits off in front of Forrest Lucas, the Lucas Oil guy.
Oh yeah,
with that Tom Abe bit deal. Tom Abe, we went to do this comedy show for Lucas Oil up here somewhere. And what we didn't realize, well, there was a 3-hour award ceremony, and we're going up after the award ceremony. Oh, 3 hours. And what happened was the MC said goodnight and forgot to bring us up. So half the room is turned around, emptying out. And we're over there like, what? And he sees us, and he runs back to the mic. He goes, wait, we've got comedy now. And all these people are turning around. They're like, oh, fuck, man.
We got to stay longer.
And half of them just ran for the door, and a few of them settled down and sat there just like, fuck, man. So I got to go up first, and I go up. And first I said was, hey, everybody, good to see you. And Forrest Lucas is sitting right here. He was in the front row. I go, hey, Forrest Lucas, when's the last time you changed your own oil? And they just went, like, fucking, and I was like,
that's a good joke.
Since you changed your own oil, or Mr. Lucas Oil, you know, and so it just fucking, I just stabbed myself in the heart. So I'm doing like 5 minutes, and it's the worst set I've ever had. And I was a seasoned professional. I could not handle this wave of this. I'm sinking this ship. So I go, okay, hey, I'm gonna bring up Tom Abe. I go ahead and I go, no, here's what I did. I said, we're gonna do it real quick. Intermission, real quick, 5 minutes. I run off stage because there's no point in me being there. I'm just holding them hostage. So I run back. I go, Tom, look, here's what we can do. They're here to, I mean, you're the big name act. They're going to want to see you. You can pull this off. I can't, there's no point in me being out there. There's no point in me being there. So look, just go ahead and bring yourself up and just come on out there and let's start this off new and do a short set. He's like, okay, cool. So he goes out there and he's just bombing too. He's doing better than I was, but they just didn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, they were fucking
and
done.
He did like 6 minutes and he goes, okay, here we go. Rich Reagan's. And he brings me back up. And I'm like, what? And they can see me. I'm like, if I was behind that, so I run back out there. I told him, oh, it was a dick. Oh, I'm so pissed. We were fighting the whole trip back. We were arguing. We made up since then, but I walked out there. When I'm passing him by, I go, you motherfucker, like that. And I walked up and did two jokes and then walked back off stage. It was
that's horrible.
It was a shit show.
Hilarious.
It was a shit show. It's even hard for me to watch basketball games at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Well, thanks for being here, brother, and hanging with us. Everybody check out Bacon Focus. It's everywhere. I know it's at least on Spotify, but I think it's everywhere else.
Wednesday on YardStream.
On StreamYard?
Well, you mean the podcast.
Yeah, the podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be Wednesday, 8 o'clock.
What?
The podcast.
It's live?
It's live.
People can get on live on StreamYard?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That sounds difficult.
Okay, the anomalies, okay?
You are the most... They always say Todd versus tech because I'm not good at tech. You are the most untech savvy motherfucker I've ever heard.
I don't know what the word untech means.
We recorded 6 o'clock tonight, but when did they hear it? It goes out on all the like iTunes and everywhere like the next day, right?
Yeah, they're taking care of all of it for me. They said all you got to do is show up and be funny. We just want to hear what you got
to
say.
Just so you know, don't bother going and try to go to StreamYard to find it. StreamYard's a hosting platform. Go to iTunes or Spotify or somewhere else like that and just type in Bacon Focus. It's the only one that comes up real fast. Nice, cool orange icon. Good looking album cover. That's Rich Reagan's talking about how he wished he could focus better. And it's pretty... Look for the book. It's coming soon in 2047.
I think I'll have it done by now.
Pre-order, though. You can pre-order now.
Yeah, you can pre-order now. No, it'll be out soon. Look for that, too.
And it'll also be on YardStream here tomorrow night at 6:42.
He'll read it live.
You can read it live, or you can re-record read it.
All right, we're out of here. Love you, Richie. Love you, Sean.
See you, buddy.
Love you, fellas.